comes to the Reformation, I suppose names like Martin Luther King, Zwingli, Calvin, Huss and others could drop off the tongue fairly easily. But what about the name Pigius? And what has he got to do with John Calvin in particular? Well, many claim to be Calvinists holding to the truth of sovereign grace as set forth from the Bible by Calvin and others, but few really know what Calvin taught. He had a famous debate with Pigius, and tonight the Reverend Angus Stewart from the Covenant Protestant Reformed Fellowship in Ballymena is giving a talk in the community house in Drumrah Avenue in Ome. And that's the glass building, by the way, beside the bus station car park, at the Reformation Day lecture. And the Reverend Angus Stewart joins me. Angus, good afternoon, and thank you for joining me.
Afternoon, glad to be on.
Not at all. Remind us, as I say, all those other names trip fairly easily off the tongue. People will know something of them, perhaps, but tell us a bit about Pigius before we talk about the debate as such.
Yeah, Pigius in himself is a fairly minor player.
Yeah.
He was a Dutch monk, and he was a friend of one of the popes, Pope Adrian VI, who was the only Dutch pope.
That's right.
And when Adrian went to the Vatican, Pigius went with him. Pigius was trained in humanism and according to the philosophy and thinking of Erasmus.
Yeah.
And he wrote 10 books and part of one volume about free will, predestination, and such subjects.
Yeah.
And really today he's only known in that John Calvin answered him.
Right.
And that's the significance really for us.
That is it. And I'm kind of fascinated by the subtext. I mean, Calvin versus Pigius. Does God desire to save the reprobate? Tell us more.
Okay. Calvinism, the system of theology developed by John Calvin, set forth in the Protestant creeds, teaches that God eternally elects some to eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, and that he chooses before the foundation of the world to judge others and punish them forever on the basis of their sins.
Mm-hmm.
And this debate about God desiring to save the reprobate, the question is, does this really fit with the earlier debate of God's sovereignty and election and reprobation? It's sort of a middle house position. Because some people will claim that God, yes, he does punish the wicked and eternally decree that they will be destroyed for their sins, but that there is another sense in which he actually wants and desires and wishes to save them. So you have two tracks there. One is that God wishes to destroy them to show his own justice and righteousness, and the other hand, that he actually wants to save them. And the question is, can these two desires in God to punish and to save, can they be reconciled with the unity of God?
Mm.
And is this true Calvinism?
And what was Pigius' argument? And then tell us how Calvin responded.
Pigius believed the classic sort of Arminian line that God loves everybody, wants to save everybody, and that therefore there is no such thing as eternal election and reprobation.
Mm-hmm.
Namely that God just saves those who are willing. God helps those who help themselves.
Right.
And Calvin says, no, those who will be in heaven and in hell are eternally fixed in their number and in their persons by the eternal decree of God. And in part of that debate, Calvin goes further than he has done really in any of his other writings and says that the idea that God desires to save the wicked whom he reprobates is foolishness. And that's the key point. That's why we're looking at this book and this debate.
Calvin, certainly my first introduction in Reformation history at school many years ago, Calvin was always associated, rightly or wrongly, but in the main with predestination. And sometimes people use that in a dismissive fashion, or alternatively people embraced it, whatever. The worrying aspect for many people about what you call real Calvinism is that, well, if predestination, as espoused by John Calvin, is in fact the case, then, you know, what is the point? I mean, have you had that argument or debate yourself from others?
Yes. I suppose in more technical terms, it's called the lazy argument.
Right, go on.
If God already knows, why do anything?
Yeah.
And this is why Calvin was equally strong in stating that God commands us to do certain things.
Yeah.
And so, as regards to our obedience and what we ought to do or not do, our rule there, Calvin would say, is the Bible. What does the Bible tell us to do? The Bible tells us to repent and believe, to receive Jesus Christ as presented in the Scriptures,
mm-hmm.
turn from all our sins and believe. That's what we're to do. Now, for someone who's outside of Christ and doesn't have the assurance of the forgiveness of sins, he may be elect or he may be reprobate. He doesn't know that.
Mm.
And that doesn't become for him the standard for his lifestyle. What he's to do instead is to obey what the Scripture says.
Yeah.
Repent and believe. And so if someone says, well, I could be reprobate, and so I don't need to obey the Scriptures, God will ultimately say that that's a perverse way of reasoning, and that just makes it worse. You're using my decree as an excuse to disobey me.
When you say humanism, remind listeners what you mean by that precisely, that particular
clause. Okay,
yeah.
Humanism is a, in many senses, a broad term, but it can be summed up perhaps best in this. The idea that man is the measure of all things, and that God and his Son, Jesus Christ, really only serves the happiness of man.
Yeah.
And so statements from the Bible and attributes of God are to be judged or criticized in the light of who man is, what makes man happy.
Mm.
That's humanism. Instead of having God at the center of all our thinking, having man there.
I'm always struck, I mean, to go back to the Bible, Angus,
mm-hmm.
that in many respects, God or Jesus Christ, in a way, knew their limitations. I mean, I've just plucked something out for you. For example, you know, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. And then, very interestingly, the next line is not, I was sick and you cured me. The next line is, I was sick and you visited me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always found that fascinating. That for many people, injects a measure of Jesus Christ as man or humanity, you know, and human beings have limitations,
mm-hmm.
and that particular parallel. How would you respond to that?
Well, that's indeed true, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was really and truly man, and he hungered and suffered and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And that verse that you quote, or passage from Matthew 25, speaks of Christ being in his people.
Yeah.
And so, let's say there's a Christian who's sick. To visit that Christian, because the Christian is united to Jesus Christ, is to visit Christ who is in him by his Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the word
that
visit.
That passage is explaining that on the judgment day,
one
of the reasons for the condemnation of the ungodly is the way that they treated those who were Christians and those who were Christ, who belonged to Christ.
Now tonight people can hear this very, very interesting topic indeed, Calvin versus Peggy Eustace, God Desire to Save the Reprobate. That's the Reformation Day lecture. And get along there tonight. It's 8 p.m. Angus, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
8 p.m. in the community house, Drummer Avenue in Omagh. That's the glass building beside the bus station or car park. And listen, good to talk to you again. Thanks very much.
Pleasure, Frank.
Bye bye for now.
Bye now.
Bye. That's the Reverend Angus Stewart there from the Covenant Protestant Reform Fellowship in Ballymena. Yeah.